Hey, welcome back to Safe Harbor Podcast, the show for parents of children with disabilities and those who love them. I'm Teresa. I'm so glad you're here. Today, I have a solo episode for you. I had a birthday this month, and I've been thinking a lot about stages of parenting, aging, and how we think about looking forward to the future. So that's what I want to talk about today with you, some ideas about this. I was thinking that parenting a child with disability is kind of broken up into stages. So in the beginning, we have the early years. We receive a diagnosis, and this is a shocking, painful time. We go through the process of grieving the loss of the typical child we had hoped we had had, and acclimating to the very wonderful, special child we now have, and figuring out how that new normal is now a part of our life and how we move forward with that. And most of us make it through that part pretty much intact. We come out the other side and we are stronger. We have learned so much, and we have sometimes even superpowers on how to advocate, educate, and certainly live through anything that life throws at us. Because you know what? That thing that's going to irritate your friend, that's nothing. You got this. That's nothing because you have climbed a much bigger mountain. So, as we acclimate to our new role as a parent to a child with special needs, we then move into the middle years, the more day-to-day piece where we've gotten them into an educational program and we get really busy with the details. Say, if you're in the U.S., they get an IEP, which is their annual education plan. So we have to prepare for that, and then we meet with the team and we sometimes have to really do a lot of work in advocacy and education on how to best set up the appropriate education program for our child. And then we take them to medical appointments and therapies, and we figure out how to get them included into the community, how to get them access so that they have friends, so that they have sports experiences, or whatever the pieces of life that are appropriate for you and for your child, given the way you live, your family, your culture, etc. And we move from that into moving them away from school as they graduate and then join either the workforce in a particular capacity, or we find them a program so that they can stay engaged and active and that their life is rich and meaningful. So that's kind of like the middle years. And my sense is those are really busy and we get very bogged down in all of the details because we are lifting this burden. We are carrying this along with everything else that we do. Sometimes we falter. Sometimes we don't ask for help when we really should. And so it's not a straight trajectory. It goes up and down. There are highs, there are joys, and there are very deep, dark places. I didn't even mention that sometimes our kids get sick or they develop new diagnoses and we have to deal with all of that. But then I think there is this third stage as we move into our later years when we as a parent look to the future and think about the time when we will no longer be able to care for our child. So if our children are not independent, if they are not able to be launched like our other children, our typically developing children, as we age, we continue to have to be responsible for them. So the nature of those more senior years changes. It's very different than our friends, our family members who are the same age. I mean, my life is very different than my friends' lives. For my very close friends, their children are either out of the house, married, working, or if they're still at home, they're just about to flee the nest. And they're not dealing with what I'm dealing with, which is either caring for my daughter or making sure someone else is here to care for her, putting her to bed, checking on her through the night, et cetera. All the things that you are doing, taking care of her medication, doctor's appointments, all of that, organization. It just goes on and on. We have a very different kind of phase that we go through as we age. But there are specific things that we are required to address. And those are what I think about as the details as parents of children with disabilities age. And then there are the feelings. And this is all coming up for me because I had a birthday. It's not the big birthday when I get eligible for Medicare. That's again a US term. But I'm not ashamed of the number. I'm 64. And I am awfully glad I can say that because I'm glad I'm here. Many people I know have not made it to that number. So I feel particularly blessed to be here at 64, to be relatively healthy, and to be loving life and enjoying what I have been given and trying to meet the obligations that I have. But I do feel it. I feel the aging. Certainly your body moves differently and reacts differently as you get, certainly over 60. I'm starting to feel that. And my friends who are in their 70s say, it only even gets more of that as you get older. But for me, I'm so proud to be that age, but I also am starting to deal with a little bit of fear because now I've really got to kind of solidify plans for my daughter and for us for the future. So I think of it as these two aspects. There is the details and the feelings. And if you're good at details and not a particular procrastinator, you may have actually already addressed these. And for those of us who procrastinate about these kinds of things, procrastinating doesn't help us at all. Kicking the can down the road and putting off something that has to be talked about actually creates a great deal of stress in our bodies. And we've talked before about how stress is not good, how it harms our cells. It can cause insomnia, waking us up at night with panicked thoughts about what am I going to do with my daughter or my son. So it's certainly easier to deal with these questions in the daylight. So if you have not yet already, I suggest that you begin to talk about these kinds of things with someone else, with either your significant other, if you have a partner, but if you don't, with someone who you trust, a sibling, a friend, a child, if you have an adult child, and begin to go through these details to see, first of all, if they are relevant for you and your family and your child, and how you're going to begin to do those. So here in the U.S., as a person with special needs or disability approaches 18, their family or guardian can seek to get guardianship of them. Now, I want to, of course, say I'm not an attorney. This is not legal advice at all. But I want you to be aware of this. Getting guardianship for my daughter was not something that I was afraid to do or I procrastinated about. We started working on it when she was about 17 and a half. We knew that we would have to get that kind of legal arrangement in place so that we would be allowed to make decisions for her. So that was something that we did. I think you can do it on your own or you can choose to work with an attorney. If you do get an attorney, there are attorneys who specialize in working with the elderly, in working with families who have disabilities. So reach out to your network and try to find some good people to help you. But that is something that certainly should not be delayed. And then once you have it, the feeling of freedom is so good. And so the good thing about dealing with the details is once we've got them nailed, and we can always change things, of course, is that we can feel so good. And this great sense of accomplishment and positivity about ourselves, and who doesn't want that? So getting guardianship, making a will, certainly identifying an executor, identifying someone who can handle your estate, someone you trust, and someone who can make, say, financial decisions that will involve your child. So that's really important. And that's something that people sometimes struggle with if you don't have someone close to you who can do it. We identified a very close family member for us while our son was a minor. And then we had written it in that once he reached the age of majority, then he would take over that role. So certainly once you have these documents in place, you do want to revisit them either every year or every 2 years so that you make sure things are still relevant. Many of you have heard about special needs trusts where you can set up a trust so that your child doesn't lose benefits from the state or from the federal government. So those, again, are things to think about. These are the details. And life insurance, setting up life insurance so that if you guys are no longer around, there will be funds that can pay for the caregiving that you do, which is so vital. So you get all that paperwork done, and then the next thing is, you know, the decision. So starting to envision what happens either when you're gone or when you can no longer care for your child. And so the way that I'm going to say right now, I don't have a decision. I'm not set on something. I have like these ideas. My husband and I have ideas about what we think would be really good for Lisa. What we are doing right now is I'm trying to seek out others who are ahead of me, who've made those decisions already and said, okay, like, what have you guys done? How's it working? Because you have to think about, where will your child live? Who will they live with? And who will care for them? And there's lots of different options. So I know some families have chosen to place their child in a group home that has a religious orientation. And there's some element of comfort there. For other options, there are traditional group homes that run by approved providers. And they would be paid for through your child's, you know, state, maybe Medicaid program. I've also come to hear about care homes where your child lives with a family in their home and they are paid. And another option is that your child can remain at home where you live. And then there are people who are paid to come in to care for them. Or they could move in with a relative. Maybe that relative is then given some funds so that they can modify the home to accommodate your child, or they're given money so that they can care for them over time. So as you can see, there's just so many options, and there's others as well. I know some families have thought of pooling their resources and building a home for, say, 3 or 4 individuals, and the families fund the home. So there's just lots of options. But the thing that I want to talk about is really the value of beginning to have these conversations. And it really is meant to help our children. Because think about how scary or frightening it would be if all of a sudden something changed and there was no plan. And that would be so overwhelming for my daughter. She would be dealing with the loss of us along with this great disruption in her routine as people then had to come in and make decisions. And it's likely then there could be disharmony. And certainly we want to stay away from that. So I never want to do something that's going to hurt my child. So I am making a goal for myself to really dig into this over the next couple of years so that I don't procrastinate on this much longer. And I'm suggesting that you start to do the same, that you start to think about it. Because now when I talk about the feelings, right? So now on to the feelings. Boy, it's really scary. It's scary to think of a future where she's living and we're not here. Whoa, right? But I can't put her in a glass. I can't put her in a bubble. And I want her to be happy and thriving, right? So I have to really begin to be okay with that, that she will have a life. And I'm hoping that it is a wonderful, rich, happy life after us. And so I need to prepare so she has the least amount of harm, right? Because we should do no harm. So how do we prepare? We talk, we build a community, we find others, like-minded, similar situations. We reach out to our resources and we learn. So I'm going to post information in the show notes somewhere you might be able to begin to look for resources on these kinds of topics. Please jump into our Facebook group and share your own ideas, share your own thoughts on this. The more information we have, the less stress we have, the less likely we are to procrastinate. So that brings less harm to us and, of course, less harm to our children, which is what we want, right? So those are my thoughts in my birthday month. Anyway, thank you for your attention. I've enjoyed talking about this with you, and I look forward to your feedback. Please check out the show notes for where to find me. Please subscribe and share this podcast with someone who you think it might resonate with. It's likely that as 2022 comes to an end, I'm going to take a couple weeks off. So please be sure that you subscribe so when the remaining episodes for 2022 post, you won't miss them. And then look for some exciting stuff to come in 2023. It's been my privilege to spend some time with you. I thank you so much for listening. We have listeners all over the world. I'm so excited about that. And here in the U.S., this week, we are celebrating Thanksgiving. I have much to be grateful for. Certainly a wonderful family and blessed with amazing children, a good partner, an amazing extended family. God has blessed me with so much, with all of you who are listening. So here's where we take time to be thankful for our blessings. And I am thankful for every lesson I have learned over my life, and certainly the many that I have learned from my daughter and also from the other individuals with disabilities who I have been privileged to know. So with that, I wish you a beautiful Thanksgiving if you celebrate, and I will talk to you soon.